In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
You're listening to it on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports, where I always do my show. You can listen to past shows on 1430ESPNFresno.com under podcast, Central Valley Sports Report. You can listen to all the great shows here on 1430 ESPN. If you're unfamiliar with the show, do a lot of high school talk. I say like 94% of our talk is about high school sports. We throw in some Fresno State stuff every once in a while. We know they have a big game today at UNLV. Kickoff is scheduled for 12:30. But this is a show where we break down high school games from the night before, the previous week. Obviously, this is football season, so we'll be talking about all the great football games that were played last night. A little bit of a light schedule. Only 37 games were played in the central section. A lot of teams had byes. The track schools, the CMAC schools had a week of rest, so to speak. And then league starts next week. The gauntlet that I call the track this year. We're going to be breaking that down in hour number two with Austin Campbell. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. I'm so excited to talk about high school sports. So a little house cleaning as well. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. And again, I'm live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. When you walk into the store, you veer right to a little bit. I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room. I'm looking at Letterman's Jackets from Sunnyside, Fresno Christian, Sanger behind me. What do we got here? Sierra, Kingsburg. To my right, Central, Kalinga, Selma, Woodlake, they share the same color schemes. And in fact, when I was setting up my show here, all the equipment and speakers and all that good stuff, there were people in here getting their Letterman's jackets configured, getting all the patches on and designing it. So that's always a lot of fun to watch happen. All right, so what do we got on the show today? Got Emmanuel coach Josh Henderson. The Eagles are 5-0 after their win in Merced last night, 43-7 win over El Capitan. One of the more impressive stats in the central section this year is that Emmanuel, they allowed their first touchdown. I should just say their first points. They allowed their first points of the year last night. They've outscored opponents 206-7. And I believe that it was due to a muffed punt. Or I think actually they fumbled the snap, and so their opponents got really good field position and was able to punch it in. But other than that, Emmanuel's not allowed a point this season. It's the first time Josh Henderson's been on my show. I'm an alum of the school, and so I'm excited to talk to him. It's his fourth year. He's got good things brewing there in Emmanuel. After that, we got Minarets coach Shannon Pulliam. Speaking of 5-0, the Minarets team is also 5-0. They're the Mustangs, looking really, really strong this year. I've known Coach Pulliam for a long time, watched his daughter Champney play basketball for Clovis West, win a state title. So excited to have Coach Pulliam in the house. He's coming live here at First String Sports. Like I mentioned, Austin Kemp is coming in at the top of the hour. He's my track expert. We'll be breaking down all the track schools, who he thinks is going to come out on top. I tell you, it's going to be a bloodbath when those teams play each other. They're a combined 26-4. Buchanan was the only team to play last night. They won their game at Paso Robles. So love talking with Austin. This is his third time on the show. The reason why I bring him on is because he's got a great perspective. He knows these teams inside and out. He knows the coaches as well. So it's a lot of fun to talk to Austin. Excited about that. The bottom of hour number two, I haven't had this guy on my show before. All right. I got a star quarterback, Deegan Rose from Clovis, headed to Oregon State. He's a three-star guy, started as a freshman. The Cougars are 5-0. I haven't had Deegan on the show ever, so this is his first time on the show. Really, really excited about that as well. We're going to get to know him a little bit better. The Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating weather report, got to get to that too. It's currently, check my phone, 77 degrees. It's going to be a high of 96 today. Unseasonably hot. But how about next week, guys? Come on. You know, when you check your iPhone, check the weather, you can see the next 10 days. Next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, it's getting back up to 103, 104. What's up with that? Come on, man. It's October. It's not supposed to be that hot. That's supposed to be in the window. But according to our phones, that's what it's going to be. So be prepared for that. All right, I'm going to go over some scores. Like I mentioned, light schedule, 37 games total in the Central Valley. Track and CMAC was off, as well as like Hanford. Let me scroll down here. Liberty was off, Kingsburg, Frontier, Kerman. A lot of the rural schools were able to play some league matchups. A lot of leagues started last week. All right, so let's get to these scores here. In East Sequoia League action, Corcoran defeated Woodlake 24-21. Lindsay, in a really good game, defeated Orosi 21-14. That game was tied at 14. Lindsay comes away with the win. Strathmore, defending state champs, beat Farmersville 49-0. In North Yosemite League action, Hoover defeated Sanger West 14-13. Sanger West had a chance to win the game at the end, but missed a field goal. So Hoover holds on to win that one. McLean defeated Fresno High 56-0. I want to break that down a little bit more. The reason why is because we broadcasted the game. Phil Benanti and I were on the call at McLean Stadium. Let's just be honest. Fresno's had a tough time. They were 0-4 going into that game, had only scored 3 touchdowns. McLean was the heavy favorite. Coach Pancotti's done a fantastic job with that program. It was a 41-0 game at half. Like I said, ended up being 56-0 running clock in the entire second half. However, it was really good to watch this McLean team. Tell you what, guys, they're a very balanced team. Not a lot of weaknesses. They got a really good quarterback, Noah Zamora. Looked great, going 13 for 16 for 200 yards and 3 passing touchdowns. The receivers and running backs, very athletic, played great, scored 4 touchdowns on the ground. Secondary wasn't challenged, but they're athletic. The front line, Fresno High could do nothing. They were hit at the line of scrimmage right away. A lot of tackles for loss. So the front line for McLean, I was impressed with. The offensive line looked pretty good as well. They had a big dude out there, 6'4", 355-pound dude playing right tackle. So McLean, even though they lost to Sunnyside last week in a really good game, 13-7, they're going to challenge for a section title. They're going to be in Division 4. Division 4 is going to be loaded this year, but McLean's got a really, really good chance. So congrats to Coach Pancotti. The Highlanders are now 4-1 on the season. That team looks really, really strong. Another team that looks pretty good as well is Roosevelt. They beat Torres 48-10. Coach McCoy's doing a fantastic job since taking over that program. They play Sunnyside next week, so that is going to be a good one. And speaking of Sunnyside, they beat Madera South 44-14. In non-league action, Aurora Grande defeated Napomo 41-28. Atascadero over Templeton 10-7. And Buchanan, how about them Bears, defeated Paso Robles 33-13. So the Bears are now 5-0 heading to the track. Let me just look really quick to see who they play in round one. So Buchanan is going to be playing Clovis High at home to open up track. So congrats to the Bears for their 5-0 start to the season. Central Valley Christian defeated Mission Prep 35-14. Kalinga, in another good one, defeated Washington Union 37-24. Golden West came back to beat Tehachapi 24-21. Tehachapi was up 14-0 in that one. So the Trailblazers, they're looking strong. Their strength is speed. Tehachapi with that high grass there up in the mountains. They come away with a nice win, 24-21. Liberty of Bakersfield bounced back to defeat Independence 42-6. Mendota defeated McFarland 48-6. Mount Whitney in a tight one. This game was 0-0 at half. Mount Whitney and Reedley. Mount Whitney scores 14 points in the second half to defeat the Pirates 14-7. Porterville another low-scoring affair, beat Exeter 10-6. A little bit of a surprise there, especially with the low scoring. But Exeter, they got a good team, but Porterville, that's a nice win there. Rigetti defeated Garces 41-21. St. Joseph ended Shafter's 4-0 start, defeated the Generals 30-28. That was a back-and-forth affair, so Shafter falls. Tulare Union and Bakersfield Christian, that was a game that I wish I was able to check out. Bakersfield Christian was 3-1. Tulare was 4-0. Tulare comes away with the win, 28-14. So Tulare could win low-scoring games, too. A lot of question marks about that. So really good win for Tulare Union. Tulare Western defeated Wasco 23-15. West defeated Arvin 20-19. And Yosemite defeated California City 34-19. And might as well mention again, Emmanuel beat El Capitan from Merced on the road 43-7. We're going to be talking with Josh Henderson after the break. I wanted to mention some sad news that the Central Valley had to figure out and go through. On Wednesday, Shelby Dinelli, a member of the track and field community, passed away suddenly. She was a Buchanan grad, 2019. She won the 200 at the CIF State Track and Field Championship on her home track. That was a race that I will never forget. I was at the finish line, and she wasn't expected to medal. I think she had the fourth best time going in. And I was at the finish line, and she won the 200 event. And the look on her face was a look of astonishment, of joy, of what did I just do? It was remarkable. Some of their competitors hugged her. Coach Brian Weaver came over and hugged her. It was a moment that I will never forget. She went on to Cal Poly. She became the school record holder for the indoor 200 meters. Ran 24:69. She recorded the second fastest time in the indoor 60-meter and 100-meter sprint at Cal Poly. Tied for third place all-time in the women's outdoor 200-meter sprint. She graduated in 2023 and earned her master's in agriculture this June. Sadly passed away on Wednesday. You could tell that her teammates, the community, Coach Brian Weaver, family, absolutely loved her. They are devastated by this news. Last night there was a vigil held at Veterans Memorial Stadium. The news led off our local news, 11 o'clock, led off the news talking about the tragic loss of life. So thoughts and prayers go out to Shelby Dinelli and her family. The Buchanan Track and Field added on its social media post that Shelby was a fantastic athlete going on to Cal Poly to continue to break records in track, but she will be remembered by her teammates and coaches as an even more amazing person. This loss leaves a gigantic hole in so many hearts, and we will never forget the amazing woman that Shelby was. Peace be with the family during this difficult time. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to bring in Emmanuel Coach Josh Henderson when the Central Valley Sports returns on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, and we have Emmanuel Coach Josh Henderson on the line right now. The Eagles are an impressive 5-0 on the season. They've outscored opponents 206-7 on the season. Yeah, you heard that right. Only allowing one measly touchdown on the year. They'll take on Selma on the road next week. I know you guys are doing some film session right now. So, Coach, so good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Paul. Thank you for having me on. And I appreciate you guys' support. Love what you guys do. And so, yeah, good to be on.
Absolutely. So walk us through last night's game. So a little bit of a road trip, driving up to Merced on Highway 99. You guys came away with that 43-7 win. Just kind of walk us through that game. What were your expectations, and how did the kids perform on the field last night?
You know, it's an exciting win because El Capitan is a team that's really improving. Their staff is doing a great job. You know, they were 3-1. We didn't have kind of mutual opponents, so it was really kind of hard for us to judge. But they've done great in completing deep passes and having some guys who we felt like were maybe better skill positions than we've seen. They were all around tough team. And, again, they're doing a great job. But our guys really showed up. We went out and we just made some mistakes early. They got the ball on the five-yard line. We had a muff snap after a three and out. And the next thing you know, they got the ball on the five-yard line and they scored. They actually went up. And so we haven't been scored on, but we've also not been down. So, you know, of course we didn't want to get scored on. That was really cool. But the way our guys rallied, you know, even on the play they scored, we were right in position. Came back on offense, answered, you know, with Jackson Leiby on a trap play. I think we answered with probably a 60 or 70-yard run on that first play. Went in, scored. And honestly, our guys played really hard. Our defense played lights out. We had a defensive, not a touchdown, but an interception by Tyler Romo, who's a junior and a three-year starter. He's our defensive captain. I really think he's one of the best linebackers in the Valley. I think he's at least up there. This kid's physical. He's good. But he made a big play. And then the momentum just kind of went from there. It was really a great team night. Our guys played really hard. But, you know, we responded to adversity, and that always makes, you know, a coach happy. And so, yeah, it was fun.
Well, I saw the highlight on the news. Well, it wasn't a highlight. You guys probably have the biggest punter in the central section, right? I mean, you had your big guy back there punting the football. Is that true?
Yeah, Tipia Lua was back there punting. And you know what? He did a really good job because it was, like I said, a little bit of the snap wasn't there. And he grabbed the ball and got back out to the five. But I'll tell you what, he can boom the ball.
How big is he exactly?
Tippy is right at 6'6", over 300 pounds.
I mean, I wonder if, you know, how many guys it would take to bring that guy down. Probably take about most of the defensive team.
Well, there was five of them on him. You know, but I thought he looked really athletic, you know, so maybe I should think about him as fullback.
Oh, that'd be scary. That'd be scary. All right. So yeah, you mentioned Romo is one of your top players. I think he had a crazy amount of tackles last year, like 140, something just unbelievable last year. And so you mentioned him on the defensive side. So who are some of your other standouts?
You know what? Number six, Cody DeGroote's a sophomore. He's playing a defensive end for us. We have three sophomores playing on defense. Mason Hernandez playing a corner, and to have shutouts, and Drake Woods is our other corner. So we got two sophomore corners, and not to give up a deep pass, that's really good. And then the other one of the three amigos of our three sophomores who are starting is Cody DeGroote. So I think those three we're really proud of. Honestly, it's been tremendous team effort to do what we've done. So I could really kind of shout out on our whole team. Cody's brother, Case, is playing at the linebacker position. We got Rocco and Case next to Tyler. And Tyler's, you know, getting a lot of attention, but he's doing a great job. I mentioned our corners. I already mentioned Jackson Leiby, who's having a great season at safety. He's two-year returning safety and also running the ball for us. Seth Hutchinson was out last night. He's another one. See, in this junior class, we got a bunch of guys who've been starting since freshman year. And so Seth has been a big part of our success. Even though he didn't play last night, he was replaced by Josh Thomas, who's also been up on varsity. This is his third year. He's a junior, and he made some big plays for on our defense last night and has done a great job. Offensively, our line is just really tough. It's kind of been a long time coming, but a senior four-year player, you know, Mikey Lopez, he just did a great job. He was a pulling guard last night. He's one of our smaller guys, about 5'7", 160 on the line, but just really tough. Malachi, Taggy's done a great job for us. Zach Wetnight, our center. Nate Krumpelman was out, but he's been a staple. He'll be back. Remy Anumia, 6'3", 315, number 71. Keep your eye on him. We think he's going to be playing college football next year. Exciting guy. Ramon, number 72, he just came in last night and was in the game, and he came in off sit-out period, had a great game for us. One of our team captains, 77, Danny Atondo, he's playing lights out for us. Tippi Alua, you know, we're playing really good. And you know what? To make all this stuff happen, you got to have a quarterback who's doing a great job. And Vincent Rosander's done a first-year starter, really doing a great job for our team. We've had some big plays at the receiver and tight end positions. You know, and those guys are doing a really good job. Mason Hernandez is one of our guys who's really played really well for us out there. Julian Ornelas, Luke Banks, one of our tight ends. Oh, Wyatt Rasmussen, great blocking tight end and also done some good things. So I threw a lot of names in there, Coach, but it's been a big, our coaching staff, it's team, right? It's always team. Even our scout team guys, man, I'll tell you what, we got some really good guys working, you know, out there. Last night, Lincoln Rogers went in. He's done a great job for us, has a pick this year. He plays off the bench. He's one of our seniors, four-year players, just all-around great attitude. You know, so we got some good guys, special teams, you know, Zach Stahl, Josh Thomas. So we're playing well as a team. I guess you get that, but I'm really proud of these guys and really the way they're representing. Bolton King, I didn't mention him. He's right there as our rushing leader, and he's played really well for us all year. Great attitude, great leader, you know. And so the boys are doing good. We lost one of our key guys, Shane Spomer, to a broken leg, and he's one of our senior captains, and we love you, Shane. But our guys have done a good job to step up and kind of fill the void.
We're talking with Josh Henderson, the head coach of Emmanuel High School. The Eagles are 5-0. Yeah, it absolutely sounds like you guys have a well-rounded team. You guys do a lot of team bonding stuff. You know, obviously I follow you guys on social media as an alum of the school, a proud alum of the school, and you guys had some really good bonding experiences during the season. I know you guys are at before the season, but I also know you guys do some really neat things during the season. What are some of those bonding experiences that you and your coaching staff put together?
You know, first of all, credit goes to our school. You know, some of our great alumni like yourself know Emmanuel's a fantastic school. You know, we've got convictional leadership, guys who really believe in, you know, we're a Christian school, and we really believe in the Bible and follow that. So, chap, we got a lot of stuff at school. Team specifically, you know, I would say we do an overnight camp with our team on campus during the summer. That's a really big week for kind of breaking down and building up, and hopefully as we're building up, you know, following God's word, we're bonding together. Our guys do a really good job of that stuff, but you know, we're kind of a regimented, high discipline program. And so that's a big part of it. We do have groups and hold one another accountable, and we reflect on the Bible weekly with devotional time, and we have high standards for our guys. You know, we believe in what we do. We're not saying we have the only way to do it, but our guys are really bought into the way we do it. And the Emmanuel way, you know, light in the valley, shining the light of Jesus Christ to our community. That's our goal. That's our ultimate goal. If we can do that by playing with a sacrificial effort, being loyal to one another, and let our faith shine with great efforts and great attitudes, that's a really great thing. And again, that represents our school, who we are, and what we want to do. And we also believe that leads us to victory on the field. And you know what? So far,
so far it's working. Do you still have that tradition after games? I know Clovis Unified, win or lose, they're on the field, they face the fans and their fellow students, and they sing the alma mater with the band. But do you guys still do what you guys do? I remember we went to a game last year, haven't been there this year, but after the game, what's your tradition?
We do a Eagle Hut drill, and we sing the alma mater. We didn't sing the alma mater. We brought that back last year. We've been doing it. We're singing it at school. So, Paul, you show up to our game, and you jump on that field. You grab one of our guys. You guys go shoulder to shoulder. And as Eagles, we will sing that alma mater. I would do a little solo here for you, but you'd probably lose part of your fan base.
That's awesome. And then also the world-famous tri-tip, right, that you can never go wrong with the tri-tip there.
I tell you what, man. Light in the Valley, come out to County Line Stadium, Emmanuel Sports Complex, and you'll have a great night. And I think the teams are going to come out here. But, yeah, that tri-tip with our board puts on we got all of our school board members out there cooking that tri-tip. It's Blake, and I know it's one of the guys who's been doing that for a very long time, along with a lot of the guys. But we have a great community, you know, 80 years strong. So, you know, our tradition's strong. But, we, you know, come out to County Line Stadium and see what we got going on out here. It's really awesome. So we love it, and things are going.
No, you're absolutely right. It's a beautiful stadium right there. The river is behind the stadium. The two softball fields, the two baseball fields, and obviously the track as well as the football field. It's quite a sight to see out there. A lot of people don't know about it here, but all you got to do is find the lights on Friday night, drive around the country near Reedley, and you're going to be able to find yourself Emmanuel High School football. All right, a couple more questions here, Coach. I want to mention all your accolades. So this is your fourth year at Emmanuel. Came from SoCal. Grace Brethren, you won a state championship, D2 AA, couple Southern Regional championships as well, four CIF, 12 league championships. So it must have taken a lot to bring you to Emmanuel from leaving that great atmosphere in SoCal. So how difficult was it for the full family move, but how great of a move was it for your entire family?
Hey, man, change is always hard, you know. And it was clearly God's direction for my family, for us to make a change from Grace Brethren. You know, the guys I had really were with me at Grace Brethren. Those guys were all retiring and moving on, and Grace Brethren had kind of a different vision for the future, and totally respected that and knew it was, you know, our time to look. And my family, we were looking, and I'll tell you, God works everything together, because I wasn't considering the Central Valley. But a good friend of mine, guy who had coached with me, who's now the head coach over at Mission Prep, David Schuster, great man, fantastic leader of men. He just said, hey, you need to talk to this guy named Ryan Wood, because he's different, because everything that had happened with COVID. So he had known about Emmanuel because of that. And I had been talking to different people, you know, we're just starting to come out of COVID. So it was kind of a very strange time, but, you know, I got on the phone with Ryan Wood, and I was very interested in who Emmanuel was and the direction they were going, and just everything I heard. Next thing you know, we were up here, met some of the people. Well, we were looking in some rural country type areas. We just didn't think it was going to be in California. And, you know, lo and behold, here we are in just a wonderful community around some great people. We couldn't be happier about the friends. I have five kids. As a matter of fact, my two sons are out going towards Feather River. They're both playing for COS. They're both the starting linebackers, Josh Henderson and Will Henderson. Story for another time, but I have two sons there. But I've got three older kids, daughter at GCU, and then I've got two little ones at Emmanuel, Luke and Ava. And, you know, of course, our families are such a big part of the equation. So we're really thankful the way God lined it all up. That doesn't mean it's not hard. It's always hard. And let me tell you, those years at Grace Brethren, you know, those were some unbelievable years. We still got a lot of guys playing football, and the relationships built at Grace Brethren are forever. You know, before that, I was at Aquinas in San Bernardino, and I'll tell you, it just so happens, I was talking to their head coach, who was one of my quarterbacks and coached me at Aquinas, Jordan Brusig, and he's doing great things. And the thing I'm most thankful for is, you know, being part of God's plan at every different place. And now that plan is right here at Emmanuel High School. And he made that very clear. Again, it's you know, the program vision really aligned with who I am and where we want to go as a school. And we're in year four, and people, you can really start to see where we're going. You know, and one of the other things about Emmanuel that was just kind of extra was how strong they were already going with their youth programs. You know, we have strong youth football play right here at County Line Stadium. Titans play Kingsburg today. Reedley Titans, a lot of, you know, our guys are coaching down there, a lot of Emmanuel guys, and that's a really strong program with some good kids coming up. So, you know, the way our high schoolers have committed and the way everyone's responding, I think, you know, God's doing great things, and I'm thankful to be part of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, fantastic answer. And I do have to mention this, too. I got one more question for you, that the Emmanuel 8th grade flag football team came to my school, came to Traver, and they beat us by a touchdown in the first game of the year. So 1-0 so far with Emmanuel and Traver. But we've got the best of you the couple years before that. So anyway, I had to throw that in there. But you're doing a fantastic job at the high school level. Okay, so you guys 5-0. You got Selma, Sierra Pacific, CVC, Hanford West, and Exeter. What are your expectations for those final five games?
Well, maybe I should ask you, what are your expectations? You're alumni. You know, you get to take off this hat and go, what are you thinking? What are you expecting from us, Paul, as you know, Emmanuel alumni? What do you think we could do this year?
Well, I'm looking at game number three, right? CVC, one of the rivals of Emmanuel High School for a long time, Coach Don Arax. And I got to tell you this, man. You and Don Arax have the same type of personalities. You guys are old school. You're hardcore. You teach toughness through and through. So that's a game that I have earmarked for sure. But, hey, how about 5-0? How about 10-0 ahead of the playoffs?
You know what? Let's go one game at a time.
There you go, Coach Speak. That's my expectations versus yours. I love it.
Hey, but I appreciate you mentioning that because, you know, everything you just talked about is a really big deal to our community. And they've done a great job over there at CVC. You know, glad that Christian schools are working hard to be excellent, and they've done that. And I know, you know, Coach Arax will keep that tradition going, and they just came off of a very big win. That one's often out there. But, you know, we're going to get locked in on Selma. I just had my guys go take a lap, walk a lap, and we're coming back in here during a film session. But thank you. But I think expectations for me is that we play better football every week. You know, we talk about good, bad, and ugly, you know, and it's not about the scoreboard. Are we playing good football? Are we clearly defining our expectations, and are our guys really trying to, you know, be exacting in the way we're performing? And if we're doing that, usually good things will happen, you know. So we're pretty fired up, and thank you for having us on. And, Paul, blessings. Look forward to seeing you out here. And there it is.
There it is. There it is. Congratulations. That's Coach Josh Henderson of Emmanuel. Successful season so far, but we know it's just one phase of many throughout the year. So good luck the rest of the way. Enjoy talking to you.
You got it. Thank you, Coach. Hey, bye.
All right. Sounds good. All right. We're going to take a break. We got another 5-0 coach. Shannon Pulliam of Minarets High School is here live at First String Sports. Going to talk to him after the break on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Just had a really good conversation with Josh Henderson at Emmanuel, a small school, Division 5 base school that's 5-0 on the season. We got another 5-0 coach in here, Coach Shannon Pulliam of Minarets. You guys are Mustangs, right? Did I get that right?
Yes.
Mustangs. Okay, good. Yep. Had a bye last night. They're going to be taking on Carruthers next Friday. Also doing the color commentary for Fresno City College football. That's good stuff with a friend of the show, Scott Bemis. So how you doing? How you doing?
Good. Good. A little tired. you know, we had a bye last night, so I got to see my son. My son's the center, starting center at Buchanan, Cole. And so they played Paso Robles last night. So took a little trip. Took the day off yesterday, got some things done, and got to watch him play up there.
And you said you got home not too late, 12:30. Well, that's probably like even normal a lot of times, right? You know, after a game, you hang out with your staff sometimes and maybe get something to eat and get home and watch film, can't go to sleep. So it's kind of a normal Friday.
It wasn't bad. I mean, it's only about 2 hours. It's a 2-hour drive.
Yeah.
And no traffic.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. You brought Torin Wolf here too. So yeah. Torin just joined us right now through a headset on. We'll get to you in just a second. I'll turn your levels up. But Shannon, one of the first questions I think a lot of people out there are like, where the heck is Minarets? Right? So just kind of describe the school and where it's located and how long it's been.
Sure. Well, this is my third year up there. And if you take off and go straight up the 41 up towards Coarse Gold and, you know, Oakhurst and that area up there, and before you get to Chukchansey Park, Chukchansey Casino, we are right at Road 200. It's the North Fork turnoff. So there's a light right there. Right now they're building a gas station, Chevron station. Nice little food courts and stuff are going in there and stuff, so which is great for our kids. because when you turn right there at the road 200, it's about not even a few hundred yards.
So where exactly is the football stadium located?
On like the campus right there. So when you turn left onto the campus, you drive back a little bit, and it's set right in a beautiful setting where you can just see all the mountains and the hills, and it's really cool.
That's awesome. All right, so you guys are 5-0 on the season. We got one of your standouts to the left. I'll get to him in just a second. So, I mean, 5-0, like, was that kind of the expectations? You knew you had the horses this year. It's just everything aligned perfectly so far?
You know, our kids really work hard. They did a great job over the summer, put the time in, put the work in. Torin's a really good leader in working with some of these kids. And, you know, he comes from a background where, you know, his older brother is a really good football player at Buchanan at City College, Morehead State, and played over in Europe. And now he's coaching with us right now. We got Keenan coaching with us. So we put a lot of work in, and we had a lot of kids coming back. We knew we were going to return some good players. But the buy-in has been great. And we do have some talented kids, and they're working really hard and just making things happen. And fortunate, you know, for us, we're sitting right now undefeated, which is good. Our JV team's 3-1-1 right now, which is good. It's not what they've usually normally have been, but because we usually have most of our young kids that are really talented up. Yeah.
All right. So, Torin, I'm going to bring you in right now. So, successful season, obviously 5-0. You're the quarterback. Coach has said a lot of great things about you. Just kind of describe what the season's been like for you so far.
Yes, sir. So, I would say going into the season, a lot of people outside of the school, they were transferring in and out. A lot of people went to Liberty in Madera. I would say a lot of people were doubting us. They thought our O-line was going to be awful. That was that was the biggest misconception. And over the summer, I feel like all of our O-linemen worked hard, and they're all super close friends. So now they work as one unit instead of five individuals, and I think that's helped us the most throughout our season.
Well, that's a great answer from a quarterback, right? You always got to give love to your linemen. They're the ones that protect you and make you look good.
Yes, sir.
All right, so far in the season.
Well, hey, you want to know how young we are?
All right, talk to me. What do you got?
We have one senior that starts on our offensive line. We have three sophomores and a freshman, and two of them are brothers. And these kids are...
So they ain't going anywhere.
No. We got a longevity. We just got one kid who's a senior guy, who Rock Botcher, who is a good leader with those kids, with the young boys. And it looks good for the future for us.
Absolutely. And Torin, you're a junior, but you have 969 passing yards on 75% completion rate, which is phenomenal. One of my favorite stats is the old touchdown to interceptions, 12 touchdowns to one interception. Is there a certain play or a certain game that stands out to you so far this year?
Ooh. I would say against Fowler, against Riverdale, we were down 13-7, and we were first drive. Started off slow, got one first down, then three and out. And then second time we got the ball in the first half, I think we had 4 minutes left. And then drove down the field, scored with, I think, 20 seconds left. And it was just cool going into halftime with that. It kind of built our camaraderie because we hadn't fought from behind like that all season.
Yeah,
I think it just showed.
Playing from behind obviously is a lot different. That Fowler game, I'll be honest, stood out to me. 51-37 when, you know, Fowler's got a really good quarterback over there,
yeah.
Set a lot of records.
Yes.
So 51 points. Coach, was that a game you're like, oh, man, okay, this team could be really, really good?
Yeah, we started a little slow, just feeling our way through offensively. Defensively, we were playing pretty well. Well, offensively, we were just weren't clicking on all cylinders right away, and just a little bit of inconsistency. And then, Fowler kind of just opened it up, and knowing that we were playing a good quality football team, good program that is consistently you know, very good and tough physical group. But to us, for to put up 51 points, we just started moving the ball. We were very consistent. And when you don't make mistakes, you know, like I said, the 12 touchdowns, one interception. His only interception was a tipped ball and picked off by another kid. So, I mean, it's we've been playing well. You know, knock wood, cross our fingers. But we just, you know, stay healthy and keep doing what we're doing, and good things happen.
Well, the formula is the same, right, at every level, high school, college, pro level. Take care of the football.
Yep.
Don't make mistakes, you know, the dumb penalties, right? Do the things that you plan for during the week that the coaching staff instructs you to do. That's pretty important as well, right?
Absolutely.
Do those things, and good results happen.
Absolutely. And I tell these kids all the time, you know, we got to focus on the little things, the minute things. We had a referee tell us that we were one of the best well-mannered and very disciplined teams on the sideline, which I really take pride in, making sure our guys are humble and they you know, act like they've been there and do the right thing, make the right choices. You know, you could be the guy on the other end of that thing and people talking smack to you and stuff like that, but we want to make it so that you know, our kids are well respected, and they're doing a really good job.
No, absolutely. Talking with Shannon Pulliam, Torin Wolf from Minarets High School, the 5-0 Mustangs. All right, so playoffs, right? I know you have the bye week, and you're going to get into more league play. Division 6 base right now.
Yes.
What have you been hearing, and what do you think might be the case, and what is your opinion, though, on the playoff system?
Well, I, you know, there's all kinds of talk in this net. And the smaller divisions do take kind of take a back seat to everything, and the trickle-down effect and everything, the way playoffs go. You know, Minarets hasn't had a lot of success in football over the years, and I want to say it's in its 14th year of existence. And last year was our first winning season as a team, 6-4. And, you know, wherever we get put and set up and this and that, we're going to fight and, you know, do our best and everything. But I believe that we still deserve to still be in Division 6. We haven't really done enough yet to garner that moving up into a D5 spot yet. We need to have some success there and be able to win a Valley Championship. You know, if we get moved up to 5, or if we go 10-0 and go up and get at the bottom half of 4, I mean, for us, that's a great season, but we want to win, you know, we want to win a championship. And, we'll win a league championship if we do that. But, you know, the ultimate goal is winning a section championship. And I just feel that we deserve, you know, to be there this year in 6. If we get moved up to 5, I've heard talk about they're going to move the teams that they do move up into the top 1 through 4 spots, so they don't get punished.
Correct. Yeah.
For having a great season, and then you're a D5-13 seed, and you're playing the number 3 or number 2 seed in D5, and
it just,
it's tougher.
It just doesn't seem right if a team goes even 8-2, 8-2, 9-1, 10-0, win your league, you should get a home game in the playoffs, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we thought that was going to happen with us last year, being 6-4 and doping it out, looking at D6, but they dropped so many teams down from D5 into D6, and we ended up having to go on the road to Woodlake last year, which we thought for sure, you know, we had a good season, and D6, we were thinking we were going to be a number 3 or 4 seed, and we ended up going to, you know, having to go on the road.
Yeah. Torin, I'm going to go back to you for a second. You mentioned your talented offensive line. You know, and actually I looked at the stats for that Fowler game. You had four rushing touchdowns, right, in that one? So you had some really good balance.
Yeah. Yep.
What do you enjoy most about your entire teammates, right, all the guys that you play with? What do you love about going to practice and then road trips and playing football with these guys?
I think the biggest thing is going to a small school. There's not cliques on the football team. It's the football team is one friend group. So we're all – tight, we're all bonded, there's no like discrepancies, so it just makes winning that much sweeter.
Absolutely. Good stuff. All right, so let's look ahead a bit. So Riverdale and Fowler, are they league games?
Yes.
And then you have Carruthers, Liberty, Chowchilla, Parlier, and then Yosemite. Which maybe you've already played them, but which would you consider your rival? Is it Yosemite or Sierra or?
it's Yosemite.
It's Yosemite.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you know, Sierra is a rival, and Mariposa, who was a non-league game, the mountain schools. You know, we take that mountain school stuff pretty important.
Yeah.
And so we were the mountain champions last year. We won all three.
All right.
And so we're looking for that again. It's kind of a nice little side, trophy or whatever
okay.
you want to call it. Yosemite is the one because there's a lot of, it's the closeness, you know, Yosemite Lakes Park, YLP up there. There's some areas in there that kids come to us, and then there's kids that go up to Yosemite
okay.
High School.
Got it.
So that's the closest one.
Got it. All right, Coach, yeah. We got another 2 minutes. This has absolutely flown by. Your son, right? You mentioned your son
yeah.
playing center for Buchanan.
Yeah.
How has that balance been for you? I could sense like, oh, I wish I could see my son play every day, but obviously you're doing a great job at Minarets. How's that? How have you been able to balance that?
It's tough. You know, obviously I'd love to coach my son, love him, have him come up there and play at Minarets, but, you know, he's down with there and his buddies, and he's doing some good things. It's tough not being able to watch him. I mean, got to see him in the first game, and in the second game they were going to play. We were going to have a Thursday game. Well, the referee shortage, you know, and it caught them. So they had to play a Thursday game, so I didn't get to see that one. So I did get to see last night, so that's tough. But, you know, he's playing really well. I'm really proud of him. And he and Torin are good friends, and they have been played together at Alta Sierra together. And, you know, like I said, it would be enjoyable to coach him, but I understand.
You understand.
I understand.
Yeah, right? Yes.
It's
always tough. You're pushed and pulled different directions. But
yeah.
Anyway, congrats on the season so far.
Torin,
congrats on our success. Good luck the rest of the way. Shannon,
we've
known each other for a while.
Yes.
Watching a lot of Clovis West girls basketball games together.
Absolutely. Shout out to my wife, Meredith, and my daughter, Champney, whose boyfriend plays for Northern Illinois right now. It's playing against NC State. That's where she's going to school, her master's program. And then my youngest daughter, Cortland, who's a basketball, volleyball player over there at West, too.
I've watched her growing up as well on the sidelines, hitting the volleyball and shooting baskets as well. So
yeah.
Good stuff. All right, thanks for coming in to First String Sports. Really appreciate you guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
You bet. All right, when we take a break, we're going to bring in Austin Kemp to talk track football and all that good stuff that's going on. You're listening to 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon on this fine Saturday morning, September 28th, the year of our Lord, 2024. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening to High School Sports Talk. Just had a good conversation with Coach Shannon Pulliam at Minarets High School. And I think I had to ask that question, right? So even I didn't know exactly where the high school was located, right? You hear about this Minarets, O'Neill's, California. What in the world is that? So just think Chuck Chancey Casino and just keep going a little bit farther. And there is the high school. They're 5-0, having a great season. And Coach Pulliam's done a really good job. And it helps to have athletes. And Torin Wolf is only a junior, doing great things. So, a lot of a lot of small school talk in the first hour because there were only 37 high school football games played in the central section. The track had their bye weeks, except for Buchanan, played Paso Robles and beat them 33-13. All of the CMAC schools were off, the Liberties, the Kingsburgs, the Hanfords, Frontier, Kerman, Tulare, a lot of Bakersfield schools. Oh, actually, no, my bad, Tulare beat Bakersfield Christian, but a lot of the Bakersfield schools had it off as well, so... it's time now to talk about track, the mighty track, right? Clovis East looking super, super strong, 5-0, Central 5-0, Clovis 5-0, Buchanan 5-0, Clovis West and Clovis North are 3-2. And whenever we talk about track football. I'm bringing in my former podcast partner, Austin Kemp, who played in the track, coached in the track, family's involved with the track. So you're my track expert, Austin. You're my number one guy.
Hey, I'm far from an expert, but I do like to talk ball with you, and I'm always honored when you give me the opportunity to come on your show and talk about track football.
Well, we've done this a few times in the past. We've actually sat in this room, I don't know, maybe 15 to 20 times mm-hmm. talking about high school sports. So let's talk about these schools. I mentioned those 4-5-0 teams. Out of those, if I were to say before the year started, Austin, that four of the track schools would be 5-0, which of the four track schools would have surprised you the most?
Based on like kind of how the previous season went, I think maybe if you said Buchanan would be 5-0, I'd be a little bit surprised, just because I think when you look at their schedule, they were going to pick up some wins, but I think it surprised me a little bit that they went down to Liberty and got a win. I don't think Clovis East is a huge surprise, even though like they go out of state to play that Utah school and they came out with a win, so I thought that was maybe a 50-50 game. But this was coming into the year. I thought this was going to be the most like competitive track season in years, and I feel like that was like last year it was kind of that with a lot of programs turning things around, and I think this year is like an even bigger step up when it comes to competitiveness amongst all the schools.
26-4 total. I agree with you. I think it would have been Buchanan. The first two games, I wasn't surprised they won both Thursday games. The Edison, right? We know what's going on there with the Edison Tigers. But that Liberty game, mm-hmm. right? When I saw that score, 14-10,
yep.
I think a lot of people were like, oh, my gosh. All right. Either, Buchanan is much, much improved, which they obviously mm-hmm. are. Liberty's a little bit down, which they probably are as well. But, yeah, I think that game against Liberty really said, okay, yeah, Buchanan's going to be pretty tough.
Yeah, and that was like my one game circled because like you mentioned their schedule. It wasn't the toughest schedule leading up to that point. And we had that Liberty game circled and we were just like, this is going to tell us everything about what Buchanan is. And I was following that game on the Max Prep score tracker that entire night. And they were winning the entire game yeah. until about 3 minutes left. Liberty took the lead and then Buchanan had to come down and score a touchdown at the end to win it. And I talked to a couple of those players after the game and they were pumped and they were excited, as they should be, and they kind of just like, I don't know, they were talking about how they just kind of stuffed their running game the entire night, and that's what Liberty has kind of built this not a dynasty, but they've become one of the premier programs in the section because of that physical running game. And Buchanan stood up and stuffed it, and that was super impressive, especially to do it down there in Bakersfield.
All right, so Buchanan, strengths and weaknesses. What do you think?
I think that it's hard to say weakness right now because I know we've seen five games, but like I want to see them more against common talent level opponents. I think like their biggest thing is just how efficient can they be on offense, like series to series. I think their biggest strength is defense, and they've leaned on their defense the entire year. And when you look at their scores, they don't allow much to their opponents, but their biggest thing is just how efficient can they be on offense from drive to drive? Can they keep the clock going? Can they pick up first downs? Can they flip the field when they need to? Because I don't think they're they're not super explosive, but they can move the ball in chunks. And if they can do that, consistently, they're going to be tough to beat with that offense or with that defense. And you look at their offense and they spread it around. I think they have like four guys with over 20 carries. So it's not just one guy. It's a handful of guys that are moving the ball.
Yeah. Defense is playing really well. They lack the explosiveness. I agree. But hey, if you get into a grinded out football game with Buchanan, mm-hmm. anything can happen.
And right? they showed they can win a grinded out game against a good team. So, If you get in one of those, 20-17 type games against them, you better be careful.
You'll be nervous.
they've showed that they can beat a good team playing that way.
All right, let's move on to Clovis West. They are 3-2. That great opening season win against Edison of Huntington Beach that we broadcasted on 1430. Got a freshman quarterback, right? A number 10. Freshman as well, who plays running back mm-hmm. and safety. Lee is his last name. Took a step back in the next game against Liberty, beat Edison of Stockton, beat Edison of Fresno, and then, oh, I was hoping that they would win that Turlock game and it'd be like, oh, they're 4-0, but they unfortunately fell to Turlock at home. What's the skinny on Clovis West? What do you think about them?
You know, their biggest thing is, you had mentioned it, they're so young. Freshman quarterback, leading rusher as a freshman. I think I saw that five of their six leading tacklers are on defense are either sophomores or like first-year juniors, or first-year starter juniors, I should say. So it's just an inexperienced team, and it's hard to say at this point in the year now that we're almost in October that a team is inexperienced because you've had all these games, but they've never played track games yet. So I think their biggest weakness, if you want to call it, is just that inexperience and youth. And when you deal with young players, you just don't know what you're going to get week to week, as you've seen, as you know. And one night they might come out and they're looking special, yeah, and making all the throws, making all the right reads, everything like that. And then the next week it could be completely different. But that's what happens with young players. I think the coaching staff though has done an excellent job with them, and I think I haven't said it on your show yet, but I feel like I was a little hard on Clovis West last year with all those expectations, and what they've done this year, like, I think it's just like kind of good on them for having a pretty good season up to this point and doing it with a young team.
Yeah, and Darrington is an explosive player for Clovis West. They do have some explosiveness, but I think those grinded out games, you know, I think they're going to struggle with that. They don't have a whole lot of depth. Like you mentioned, young quarterback, a young running back, but hey, future looks pretty bright, man.
When you got
a freshman like that that has an offer from University of Miami already, set for a while.
And not to put this out in the world, but I don't know, if you have a freshman quarterback who's getting offers already, I mean, people are going to transfer in at some point. I mean, because that's just how the world works now. So the arrow for the future is pointing straight up. This year, they do have some youth once they get in that track play, so we'll kind of see how they handle that.
All right, so moving on to Clovis, 5-0 this season. We got Deegan Rose coming into First String Sports after you. We're going to be talking with Deegan. So they open with CVC, win. Edison on Thursday, win. Frontier, a lot of people thought that was going to be a tougher game. I think it was close going into the fourth quarter. Ended up being 57-27. Took care of business there. On the road, Salinas, 41-14. And then absolutely dismantled Bullard High on their homecoming, 53-0. Hey, you've seen Clovis a couple times. I've seen them once. They seemed a little more balanced this year than years past. What's impressed you about the Cougars so far?
Yeah, they've shown the ability to run the ball effectively, and obviously with Deegan back there at quarterback, they're going to essentially make every throw that you ask him to make. You know, I think last year and this year coming into the season, and I think the biggest kind of question mark has always kind of been the defense, and can they get enough stops? Are they athletic enough? Things like that. I've seen Clovis play three times this year. I saw them first game against CVC. I saw them in that Frontier game and against Bullard. And, you know, that Frontier game, I really started seeing that defense dial up a lot of pressure. And it's not every play, but it felt like more snaps than not on that side of the ball. They were bringing five, six, not really seven guys, but like five or six guys. And I feel like they've done that starting the Frontier week. And then they did that against Salinas and hammered them. And then they did the same thing against Bullard and hammered them.
Yeah.
What I haven't seen yet, to kind of go off of that, is I haven't seen an opposing offense try and counter that pressure like consistently. Like, I'm talking about getting the screen game going. I'm talking about getting the quick pass game going. Because like Frontier, and my brother and I were watching that game. We were watching the Bullard game. These offenses were kind of just dropping back and having these long developing routes, and I mean, when you send pressure, that's not going to work. So I want to see what an offense does when they have all this on film, what kind of happens if Clovis can continue that dominant effort. But so far, the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, I'd say that defense has passed the test. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you better score some points, because, you know, Deegan Rose and Maddox Merrill and some of those receivers, they're gonna get theirs too.
Yeah, Maddox Merrill is he's a tough Clovis runner that you've become accustomed to, can take it outside as well. So, yeah, I I think for Clovis, when you got a quarterback like Deegan Rose, who again is only a junior, seems like he's a senior, who can make just about any throw on the field, in any type of formation on the run. He's especially good on the run. You've been impressed with that part of his game, haven't you?
On the run and like every, I feel like, short to intermediate throw, whether it's like a third and six he has to pick up, like a second and seven, something like that. He is so good on those intermediate routes. He knows exactly where to go with the ball. Always good ball placement, and it's like clockwork moving the chains.
Yeah, defensively, I was impressed with what they did against Bullard. And, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. They were putting six, seven, sometimes even eight on the line of scrimmage, pressing the receivers, being really, really physical. Strength of schedule, though, you know, the track's going to be a different animal.
Yep.
You know, no offense to Frontier, who I thought was – about a 6 or 7 ranked team at the time.
At the time. And I had that game. I remember talking to people saying, you know, they were saying Frontier might be the best team in Bakersfield. And I kind of took that bait early in the year. And I don't think they are. I think they are one of the better teams, yes. But I don't think they are what people were saying. But like you said, I think the track's going to be a different animal compared to their non-league schedule.
All right, let's move on to Central, talking with Austin Kemp. 5-0. Beat Justin Garza, the team from Alaska, Turlock, Edison of Stockton away, and then that pretty darn impressive win against Liberty of Bakersfield at home. That, I think, also was a 41-14 the game.
Yep.
That sounds right. What's impressed you about the Grizzlies this year?
So I've been hearing, so this current junior and sophomore class at Central, I think the freshmen are pretty talented too, but specifically the juniors and sophomores, I feel like I've been hearing about these two classes for a few years, kind of as they were growing up through eighth grade and then they became ninth graders. And I've just kind of been waiting for them to all be together on varsity. I think they are so athletic. And like we know with Coach Biggs, they're going to be well coached every single year. They get after it. I think if they can get above average quarterback play, above average to good quarterback play the rest of the year, I think they're going to win it all if that happens. Now, we talk about their quarterback. He's only a sophomore, so he doesn't have a ton of experience. He's played better as the year has went on, especially that last non-league game against Liberty. But again, that team is super talented. They are super athletic. And if their quarterback can almost be like, he doesn't have to be a super big playmaker in my mind. He is, because he's a dual threat. If he can just not turn the ball over, make the right reads, I think they're going to be so tough to beat.
Well, I know stats tell a story, right, for football teams. And thanks to Central High for putting up stats. I love this. So, I mean, look at their quarterback, sophomore Dipple, 65% completion percentage. 1,247 yards through five games and 17-2 touchdown to interception ratio. And how about this on the ground? What's he got? There it is. Oh, only one touchdown on the ground. So not a big.
But we've seen him get out of the pocket.
Yeah.
We've seen him on the zone read. And maybe those rushing stats aren't accurate for him. Maybe they are, but
He takes sacks, right?
But he takes sacks which count away, count from against the rushing yards. But he is extremely dangerous on the ground as well. And you put him in there with all those other playmakers. Like, I mean, look at their. Paul and I are looking at their rushing stats right now. Every single leading rusher, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys are all either juniors and sophomores, and those are those classes I've heard about. So,
well, Brandon Smith, 483 yards on the ground. 8 touchdowns.
Yeah,
that dude's probably automatic within 10 yards, right, of the
100%, 100%. So they're going to be tough to beat, especially at home. They host Clovis North, first track team of the next week. So it's going to be fun.
No, it is. And it's a game we're going to have on 1430 ESPN. How about this, Austin? Pat Hill and I are doing the game. So I'm doing play-by-play. Mm-hmm. Pat Hill's going to do color.
Look at
excited.
You.
Excited. Look at that.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Nobody. All right. Clovis North, 3-2 on the season. Started off with wins against San Joaquin Memorial and Redwood. Lost to Jay Serra at home. Beat CVC at home. And then lost to Los Alamitos on Saturday at 1 o'clock, a game I watched three quarters of. Clovis North, we know what they did last year. Just a remarkable season, 13-0 before they lost to De La Salle, D1 championship. I feel like the offense has taken a little step down, even though they added Sam's as a weapon. You got the two stud running backs, Sinfell and Madsen. I don't know. Are you bullish on Clovis North still?
You know, I think they're still going to be as good as anyone in the league. It's hard not to take a step back from where they were last year. I mean, that was an all-timer team. I mean, they started, 15-0 before losing their state game. But it's like they're 3-2 this year. Their two losses are to out-of-section opponents who are ranked pretty high in the state. So I don't want to say, oh, just throw those out. They don't matter. But they don't really matter all that much. They're still going to have a physical running game. They're going to run downhill. They have that added dimension with Sam's on jet sweeps, on bubble passes, and he's the fastest player probably in the section. So that's a little bit different dimension than what they had last year. However, to push back against that, it's going to come down to their quarterback play. And we know that they're going to run the ball 70%, probably 75% of the time like they did last year. However, I think what gets lost in last year's success is their quarterback, I'm blanking on
Cosma.
Name, Cosma. He made so many throws last year when he needed to. He didn't turn the ball over. And, I mean, I guess I don't know this for a fact, but when you watch those games, like, he was making checks at the line of scrimmage, and they seemed to be the right checks most of the time. So I think he was one of, like, the quietest, most important players off that team last year. And when you have a quarterback who can do all those things and just put you in the right position, it's just hard to make that up with a brand new starting quarterback.
And this year they've rotated quarterbacks, so they haven't settled in on one guy at the quarterback position. I felt like their game against Los Alamitos, they made a lot of uncharacteristic mistakes in that one. Some turnovers, some offsides, some illegal procedures, just stuff that I didn't see last year. Talked a lot about how they didn't turn the ball over. They didn't fumble. You mentioned Cosma, how he ran the offense. So all those things are just a little bit, just a little bit different from last year to this year. But
and I've noticed that in a couple of games now. Like we noticed that in the Memorial game early in the year. I noticed like a lot of uncharacteristic penalties by them. But, that's what happens when you have to replace so many guys, especially on the offensive line.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know what you're going to get with Clovis North. It's going to be a tough game. They're going to wear you out. They're going to hit you on every play. So that's been their MO. They still do have a strong team. Oh, it's kind of funny, right? We talk about how great they were last year and how dominant they were, and then they're pretty good, not as good as last year. I feel like we're kind of knocking them a little bit.
Yeah, I don't want this to sound like we're knocking them because they're still, a top three?
Top four.
If not one in the section. So it'll all sort itself out.
Absolutely. All right, so let's move on to Clovis East, 5-0. Their toughest game, it looks like, has actually been that West game against Utah. They needed a late field goal to win 24-21. Beat Kingsburg, beat Sanger, beat Grant. So those are back-to-back games that I was able to see them. And then was up 35-0 against Lemoore and ended up winning 38-7, I believe. So Clovis East, most people have them as number one right now for good reason. What do you love about them?
Hey, man, when you watch their offense, it feels like it's like the greatest show on turf, a little callback to the Rams back in the early 2000s. Tyus Miller, so in control. He can make deep throws. He can make the right reads on intermediate throws. They do a lot of RPO stuff where he makes the right read. That dude is towards the top when you're talking about, like, player of the year conversation, right? I'm not going to say he's number one or two or three, but let's just say towards the top. So explosive on offense. I think, like we had last year, I personally still have a lot of questions about their defense. And there has been some games, like, they didn't give up much to Sanger, didn't give up much to Lemoore, but I don't know. I was at that Grant game, and don't get me wrong, Grant's not a bad team by any means. They have good athletes. They seem pretty well coached on offensive side of the ball, but they got absolutely shredded by Grant. And that's a team that's 3-3, so they're not some juggernaut. I think they give up like 45 points.
Yeah,
their quarterback threw for 300, Grant rushed for 200, and that was about, in my mind, one of the few decent teams they play in non-league. So I do have some questions about their defense, but when you look at their schedule, Clovis East, it's like, well, against these Clovis schools, I mean, what's going to stop them from scoring 50?
Yeah.
So it's like, you better show up every night against the Timberwolves expecting, like, you have to score 40 or more or I don't think you're going to beat them.
Well, what was last year's game against Central? That wild game.
It was like 62-59
yeah.
or something.
Yeah. Yeah. That was wild. Yeah. And you mentioned Ty Miller. He's a senior. He's a four-year guy like Deegan Rose. Deegan's only a junior. He's going to be coming on in just a second after the break. Yeah. I mean, Clovis East, their kicking game is really strong mm-hmm. as well. I'm impressed with that.
You know, Ty Miller really reminds me of what Trent Tompkins did at Central, and what made Trent Tompkins so special is like he did it for 3 years in a row and he was elite every single year. And Ty Miller has been very good up to this point, but this specific year, I put him kind of in that realm with his playmaking ability, showing off the arm. It's just like a vibe when you go out to a Clovis Keats game and watch him. It's just like you know he's going to make every single throw, and that's how I felt watching Trent play at Central. So if you haven't been out to any games this year, get out and watch this high school football season because it's going to be so fun.
And you can also tell how well loved a player is by how his teammates react to him, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody loves Ty Miller. He's a great kid going to UC Davis. Mm-hmm. So Clovis East, they're my number one. But a lot of good teams in the tri-. All right, Austin, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you dare make a prediction who you think is going to win the track? Could a 3-2 record win the track? Obviously, there would be some other 3-2 teams, but see 4-0, you see 5-0?
I think we're going to see someone rise up and separate, but I don't know if it's going to be an undefeated record just because I feel like when you look at these schools, there's three or four that, like, I feel like there's so much parity, and it's like there's no way every single team, like, there's, or not every single team, but there's no way someone is going to go undefeated. I feel like it's going to be too competitive. I feel like some of these rosters are too even. I will say, and this is going to make or break it probably this first week, but I'm going to go with Central.
So you're looking at that opening game against Clovis North.
They host North.
Host North.
And then they play East.
Two Thursday games.
Yep.
So then they got Clovis East on a Thursday, Clovis West, Clovis on a Thursday. Fun for us, right?
Yep, 100%. Get to go check out those games. I think Clovis North's a Friday because it's home. It's on the turf.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And then end with Buchanan. So you're saying Central.
I'll say Central. I think it's a little hot, but they were my preseason pick just based on based on this years of following these classes coming up. And I'm just going to roll with them. And I just am such a big fan of Coach Biggs too, when you mix in that, the coaching with the talent.
Okay. So there's lots of star players in this league. So you mentioned Ty Miller, didn't even mention Harold Duvall, Fresno State commit for Clovis East. Clovis North has Madsen. Who's
and Sinfel.
Sinfel. So Mattson's, you know, he's going to go to BYU, UCLA, mm-hmm. Oregon. Got the offer from Oregon. Central's got Brandon Smith, Deegan Rose for Clovis. If you were to say a preseason track player of the year, who would you go with?
Even though Central's my pick to win it, I think it's going to be one of the two quarterbacks, either Rose or Miller, I would guess. Because I think their numbers are going to be there. One of those teams is going to finish towards the top. And it's going to be one of those quarterbacks.
Clovis East on October 18th. Mm-hmm. And it's away for – so it's going to be at La Monica, but they do the old switcheroo, right?
Yep.
What side are you standing on? So it looks like it's going to be a home game for the Clovis Cougars. All right. Last question here, Austin. Final Four in Division One playoffs. We know we're breaking it up. We're not getting to that discussion right now. Top eight. How surprised would you be if four track schools were not the top four teams remaining in Division One? We're not in the semifinals.
Mm-hmm. I would be,
so that would mean like a Liberty or a Hanford or a Frontier, maybe. I don't know. One of those schools.
No, I'd be extremely surprised this year. And I'm not some guy who's like a Baker, like who shows bias against Bakersfield schools. I would be the first one to tell you the last 10 years that Liberty's the best program in the section, or before that, maybe Bakersfield.
Central did one of those three straight before COVID.
So like Liberty or Bakersfield when they had Coach Gola there. So I don't have any bias towards Bakersfield, or against them. But it's going to be four track schools. It's the best conference.
Yeah.
There's extremely high level teams. And I don't know, 1-6, like they're like you could lose on any night this year. It's going to be four it's going to be four tries. All right, you're calling it.
So you'd be extremely surprised if it wasn't. Let's put it that way.
I mean, I would be. Yeah.
I think I agree. Yeah, track looks really strong this year. But who knows? That's why they play the games. We've seen upsets before, but the track is looking really strong this season. Awesome. Awesome job, Austin. Always love talking with you about track sports. It just flows. It's already 11:33. We could be doing this for another hour or so. But good stuff as always. Appreciate you, my friend.
Yes, thanks for having me.
All right. Up next, we got one of those guys we've talked a lot about over this season. We got Deegan Rose, the quarterback from Clovis High, live here at First String Sports. You're listening to 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back. Our final segment, Central Valley Sports Report. Got a little Rocky Balboa. And we got Deegan Rose here. Deegan, thanks for coming on the show. The Cougars are 5-0, you're a 3-star guy. You should be a 4-star guy. I don't know, man. If I was in charge of these stars, 4, maybe even a 5. All right, but they got you a 3-star, committed to Oregon State. Still a junior. You started on a varsity baseball as well as football as a freshman. So, first of all, thanks for coming. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
And you had a busy morning, right? Like, you've been up since what time?
6. Went to the Clovis Fest, so it's early morning.
You watched the balloons go up?
Yeah.
Did you eat anything over there?
Yeah, we went to a little place called Rodeo Cafe, just got a little breakfast, then went and got a haircut. Now I'm here.
Yeah. Are you going to have to take a nap, or are you going to be able to make it all the way through the day?
That's my plan after this. Go home, take a little nap, then watch Bama, Georgia.
And I'm a little surprised Coach Wilkins isn't having you. Like, you did your lift, right?
Yeah.
You did your lift. Okay, yeah. So you're good for the day.
Yeah, no, we're good.
You're good for the day. All right, so no game last night. You had a bye week. You were able to relax and, you know, rejuvenate yourself, rest your body, rest your mind a little bit. But you guys are 5-0 this season. You beat CBC, Edison, Frontier, Salinas, and Bullard. Right? How do you feel like the season is going so far? Is that just like the expectations? We're just taking care of business on the field?
Yes, definitely. So the culture around right now, Wilkins is starting to call us the cleanup crew. Go on the field, handle business, you know, dominate. And we've been doing really well with that right now. We're dominating every team we play, and he's really liking where we're at, and so are we.
Well, the Frontier game, CBC, first game of the year. Obviously, CBC's not what they were last year, no Donaldson. And then you took care of business against Edison. The Frontier game, I thought, was a little bit of a bent. Right.
Yeah.
They say Frontier might be the best team down in Bakersfield. Like, do you feel like you guys really kind of clicked in that game, especially late in the second quarter?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we were going into that thinking it's a playoff game. You know, this could be a preview for a game in November, and we were working hard all week, you know. So second week of the season, we played Edison, but we didn't even prep for Edison. We got ahead on Frontier, and I think that helped us get ahead, and that definitely helped us win the game.
And then Salinas, a lot of hype about that game. That's cool, the belt buckles, right? You guys each got an individual belt buckle?
Yeah, no, they're nice. You know, I'm not much of a belt buckle-wearing guy, but, you know, it's really nice. I love it. I mean, it's cool for everybody to get one, and then we have a huge one that's just sitting up in Coach Wilkins' office now. So,
and it's going to stay for the year, right? Like, you guys are going to do this for the next – or I think there's a 10-year contract.
Yeah, something like that. That's what I heard. So, yeah.
So Clovis has got the big belt buckle for beating Salinas. And then the Buller game, a game that we did on 1430 ESPN, got to watch you firsthand. Saw a lot of your games as a freshman and sophomore, but that was the first time we were able to check you guys out for your junior year. The Buller game, you just made a lot of really nice throws just in rhythm. Mm-hmm. Is that what that game felt like? Like, didn't matter really what the play calls were. Like, you knew how to execute them, and they just kind of unfolded right in front of you. Is that kind of a good way to describe it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, we took care of business everywhere, too. I didn't have to do too much.
Yeah.
You know, O-line did a good job protecting me. Receivers did a good job getting them open. I just got to deliver the ball on time and felt like we did a really good job with that. Prepping all week. You know, Aiden Hernandez, 2 pick-6.
Yeah.
You don't see that often. So, I mean, we could have beat him without even going on the field offense. So, that makes it easy always.
That's right. 2 pick-6s from Aiden. All right. So, how about this? Let me ask it this way. So, 5-0. Mm-hmm. What grade do you think Coach Wilkins would give you guys? Like, if he would give you an overall grade for those 5 games, do you think he'd grade you guys pretty tough?
Yeah.
What do you think he'd give you?
Out of 10, I'd say 8. You know, we've had a lot of penalties, and you can't get away with that in the track, especially what it's looking like this year. You know what I mean? You get a first down, and you get a personal foul, it takes you back 15 yards. You know, you can't have that stuff. So we're working on that, on changing that. I mean, obviously 5-0, can't get much better than that.
Yeah.
Dominating every team, but there's still the little things that we need to clean up going on the track, especially with the league that we play on.
Has there, I'm definitely going to talk about the track. Austin Kemp and I just broke it down and the strengths and weaknesses for each team. But has there been a specific play on the field through those first five games that has been, that stood out to you?
Yeah, so it was the Frontier game. It was probably 4th and 7, you know. I mean, it was basically a dagger that ended it. So it was 4th and 7. We had a little comeback on the outside, you know, and I called the wrong protection. That happens, and then I got smoked, but I threw, I was getting hit. James Rose, great route, got open, put it on him, and I was just like, yeah, like, we're that good. You know what I mean? We can mess up on the field, and then we can still make up for it.
Chemistry between you and your wide receivers have been probably a little bit of slow process at the beginning, but where are you guys at now chemistry-wise?
Oh, it's fun. You know, they make it really easy on me. They get open. I mean, I don't think there's a guy that can guard Dez Malone. You know, that guy's routes is just insane. I've never seen anybody move like that, that fast, and then be able to go up and catch the ball, especially being, you know, 5'7", whatever he is. I mean, he's a game changer. They're all game changers. You know, Carlos Young. And I was a little salty when he came over, you know what I mean? He got me twice against the last year, you know. Yeah. But, no, we're good, you know. I mean, I love him. He loves me. It's fun. They definitely make it fun and easy.
I mean, when you have chemistry with your receivers, when you have chemistry with your offensive line, things obviously are going to go your way, and they are. They're 5-0. I didn't even look up your stats, man. I mean, I think, what are you, like a 15-1 or 2 or 3 interceptions, something like that, right? That's
yeah.
Sound about right?
Yeah, 17-4.
17-4, there you go. Just give a shout-out to some of your guys. I know Maddox Merrill as well. He runs the ball hard, but obviously your offensive line. But who are some of the dudes that you want to give a shout-out to?
Definitely Maddox. You know, he does a great job, not only as a runner, but, I mean, he can catch the ball. He played receiver for us in 7-on-7. He's a pass catcher, you know. I mean, that helps a lot, especially when they bring pressure. Just dump it off to him. And we got two tight ends who a lot of people overlook. We got Cyrus Mendez and Bryce McCabe. And they're dogs, you know. They're both huge. They can block. They can run. They can catch. So I think that'll be our game changer going forward. Everybody trying to guard our receivers and keen in on them. I think our tight ends need to have some big games, and I think they can.
How about the defense, right? You gave a shout-out to Aiden Hernandez, who had a couple picks. You know, in that Bowler game, like, the defense just smothered the Knights, right?
Yeah.
So who are some of your dudes on defense you like to watch?
So we got big number 52, Jaden Mendiola. The guy's just a freak, just psychotic freak. You know, he's a D-line. He's the kind of guy that'll – I remember last year against Bullard, he started bleeding out of his ears, and he's banging his head after he makes a sack, goes back in. He's just insane. It's scary. Nobody wants to guard him in practice. He's a dog. And then we got – obviously on the outside, we got – Carlos Young and Sterling Edwards. So Sterling's a little freshman. You know, he's tough.
Is that number your number 10?
Number 14.
You got another freshman.
Yeah, James Crusoe.
All right, talk about him first.
So we got Sterling, number 14. He's our other corner. True freshman. Guy's just a little ball muscle. He's going to be a bodybuilder. Like, there's no way he's not going to be a bodybuilder when he gets older. You know, he sticks with you. He won't – I mean, I haven't really seen him get burnt, so that's good. And then we got James Crusoe, one of our linebackers. Another true freshman.
Gosh.
Yeah, we got a bright future ahead of us, and it's exciting.
If you didn't play quarterback, what position would you play?
I like to think of tight end, just because.
Yeah.
I feel like quarterbacks always have really good hands.
Yep.
I feel like I have really good hands. I don't know about necessarily the speed, but I could play tight end.
Is there a play in the? Oh, I don't want to give this away. I was just gonna ask you: is there a play in the playbook where there might be like a double pass, a throwback to you?
I don't know.
There might be. All right, I don't give it away.
I'm not saying it on air.
All right, I got you. All right. So I want to go back a little bit longer. I've been hearing the name Deegan Rose for a while. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. I heard about you first when you were in junior high.
Mm-hmm.
But your family isn't. Like, you guys moved from the mountains,
yes.
Right? Your dad was a star running back, quarterback, do-everything guy at Sierra High School in the early 90s?
Yeah, 97. You graduated 97.
Late 90s. Like, what was that move like? And what was it like up there and then moving down?
I think we lived up there at the perfect time. So growing up, I lived in Prather, up until I was probably, I don't know, 8, 7. Then I moved up to Big Creek, which is 10 minutes past Shaver. Lived up there until 7th grade. 7th grade is my first year down here. And, you know, it's fun up there. You know, I love it, and it sucks to see Sierra right now, you know, because I know I wanted to go there. I mean, my whole life, you're growing up, my whole family went there. And I love it up there. I love Sierra, the whole area. Growing up, going to Shaver Lake, it's in your front yard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's fun. You know, like, I'm glad I got to live up there. And it also helped. The move was easy because I played baseball down here with all my friends. Like, I've known Maddox since I was probably 7, 8. I've known Logan Georges since I was 7, 8. So that helped. That definitely made it easy.
What kind of stories does your dad tell you about the football days back then?
No, I don't stop hearing about it. That's all he talks about. He makes me watch his highlight reel. I mean, I remember he showed me, I think it was a game against Kingsburg. Just nowhere to sit, just standing room only. And I mean,
at Sierra.
Yeah. It was like, it looked fun. You know, they got the little war chant going pregame. That stuff used to get me going because my dad used to be a coach. He coached there for 2 years as a head coach. So I was a kid growing up, being around all that. You're like, man, I can't wait to play here. So that was really fun.
So you mentioned, you know, growing up there, how much you loved it. Were you a fishing guy? Would you go out on a boat? Like, what?
Boat.
Yeah, go on hikes. What would you do?
So my aunt used to work at China Peak. So we go up there, we get free passes, and then we have a boat. So we go wake surf right now, and then I can't do any snow sports right now.
I
don't want to. Yeah, but I can still wake surf on the water. So that's obviously I enjoy that a lot.
Well, that's probably where you're an athlete, right?
Yeah,
so you know how to do
sort
that
of,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there like growing up? Right, you mentioned. You played baseball down here, but is there like a certain time growing up where you felt you could throw a football farther than anybody else, or you could hit a baseball, you could throw a baseball harder than anybody? Like, was there a point like, dude, I'm pretty good at this stuff? Like, is there a moment that you can remember, pinpoint?
Yeah, it was from my transition to 6th to 7th grade. So 6th grade, I played on the 8th grade team as a quarterback, right? I started, my dad was a coach. And I just remember, like, it was fun, but I would throw. We threw the ball 30 times a game. I would throw 5 picks a game. My dad just worked hard to develop me. And then from that 6th to 7th grade year, it was like I hit my growth spurt. I got taller. I thinned out. It was like, wow, like, you know, like, I'm glad I did that. I'm glad I threw 5 picks a game because I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for that.
So that you felt like that adversity, even
yes.
younger. Was your dad hard on you during those?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was, yeah. It wasn't very fun playing for him, but at the same time,
it made you better.
Yes, exactly.
How about recruitment? All right, so let's go forward a little bit. Was there a moment then, I guess I could ask this, like when you thought you could play D1? Like, was there maybe something somebody said, like, Deegan, you got special talent. You could probably go D1. Like, when was that moment real?
Yeah, I'll never forget it. It was after my freshman year. It was our exit meeting, and Coach Wilkins said, you know, my honest opinion, you can be an SEC quarterback. I was like, wow, like, that's big time. So that was the moment that was like, really, I think I can do this. And then, you know, I started getting texts on Twitter and messages, and then just kind of took off from there.
So when was the first coach to reach out to you?
First coach. I was Oregon State.
Really?
Yeah.
They're the first ones.
Yeah, it was Waz, the old tight end coach. He's at Michigan State now, but he was a tight end coach at Oregon State. He came to Clovis High. I remember how I was so nervous because I grew up, I loved Oregon State. You know, I loved Adley Rutschman. I was a baseball guy growing up, so I loved Adley Rutschman. And it was just like a surreal moment.
You remember when they won the World Series, right?
Yeah, they had a pitcher. I forget. It was like Kevin Abel or something like that. He threw like 130 pitches in the semifinal game, and then he closed out the real championship game, and it was just like, that guy's like, his arm's got to be hanging off right now. But I definitely remember them against Arkansas.
So your love for baseball, Oregon State, and then your love for football, did you always at that moment, or was it before when you fell in love with Oregon State?
So I have family up there as well. So my cousin, she graduated from Oregon State. She played water polo there. And, you know, I mean, it was just nonstop, just hearing about the Beavs my whole life. And I eventually was like, I see it. You know what I mean? Like, their colors, orange and black. Like, I'm a Dodgers fan, and I like orange and black. That's kind of weird, but, you know, I know. I mean, it's a great area up there. It kind of reminds me of Big Creek, just a little college town, forest. I love that. That's like where I want to go. Something calm, no distractions. You know what I mean?
That's how you grew up.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
That's how you want it. You're used to it. That's
exactly.
So how easy was it for you to make that commitment, or was it difficult, right? When they came with the offer, the official offer, Deegan, we're giving you an official offer.
I would say a decision like that's never easy. You know what I mean? Like, I have nothing for love for all those other coaches too. Like Fresno State, Coach Wade, nothing but love for him. You know, Auburn, Coach Randall and Coach Austin, you know, Oregon, Coach Stein, you know, got nothing but love for those guys. So, I mean, it sucked texting them. Like, it was hard, like, but I got to do it. You know, Oregon State's a place I've been wanting to go for a long time, and I love it there. I love what Coach Ray and Coach Gundy got going on up there. And even though the question was the conference thing, but, you know, playing against Fresno State, Boise State, like, that's awesome.
There you go.
That's awesome. Like, I love that. Like, I honestly think that's probably what's best for me is playing against those teams.
Have you taken an official visit, or can you?
I can't.
You can't.
Until
not
April.
April for an official visit.
Yeah.
Okay. So how many – have you been to many games there?
Yeah, last year I went to the one against UW, the Washington game.
Okay.
It was pouring rain, but it was so fun. And then I went up to the Civil War this year.
You did?
Yeah.
You did. You were
there. I was there, yeah.
Oh,
it was fun. It was really fun. The atmosphere was fun.
SEC, right? You hear that a lot. You hear big time programs. I mean, how hard is it to stay humble, right? Like, you mm-hmm. probably have different people in your ears, right? Mm-hmm. And it's probably pretty easy to puff yourself up, but how are you able to stay grounded in this moment?
I would say just taking it day by day. You know, I mean, none of that stuff really matters unless I can't go out there on the field and perform. So I think the most important thing for me is just going in there at La Monica and performing my best, having fun with my teammates, and eventually all that stuff will come.
Good answer, good answer. All right, so we got about another minute here with Deegan Rose. Track is going to be absolutely legit this year. I got my spreadsheet up here. Here's your schedule. Start with Buchanan, then Northeast Central on a Thursday, and then Clovis West. Is there one game in particular that you're staring at right now?
All of them. I mean, obviously – The Buchanan game, you know, I'm 0-4 at Veterans, 0-4 freshman year. So that obviously a little chip on my shoulder in that game. And then obviously North, you know, we were at the volleyball game on Thursday. You know, Clovis High swept North, which is big time. They're number 9 in the state. But then our whole football team is there, and their student section's going like this, pointing at their ring finger. So there's little – I mean, there's – you know, it's track. You know, there's bad blood everywhere, but there's also, like, you know, those are your friends.
Absolutely.
So every game is just going to be a battle, and I can't wait.
And Ty Miller, a year ahead of you.
Yeah.
Both you guys, 4-year starters. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you got one more year, your senior year left. What do you love about competing against that dude?
It's like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. You know what I mean? He's a great guy. I love Ty. You know, I throw with him with Pinelli. I've been throwing with him since like 7th grade. So, I mean, we go back, but he's a great guy. I mean, baller. Honestly,
he is
baller.
A baller. October 18th, you guys are playing Clovis. All right, we got 1 minute here.
Okay.
I'm gonna shoot these questions to you really, really fast because I want to get to know you a little bit more. I think the people do too. Favorite movie?
Cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I grew up. That was my.
All right. Lightning McQueen.
Yeah.
All right. Favorite place to eat after a game?
Sonic. It's not that packed, and then, you know, it's driving, so Sonic.
You get milkshakes or anything like that?
Get a freeze.
You get a freeze.
Yeah.
All right. Country music or rock and roll?
I mean, rock and roll. I'm not really a big country guy.
you did mention you're not a big belt buckle guy either, so there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
I think we could figure that one out. All right. Is making it to the NFL a goal?
Yes, definitely. That's been my goal since, I can't even remember, since I was 2. So,
since you were 2.
Oh, yeah. Growing up watching Tom Brady.
He's your guy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, Deegan, that was so much fun. First time on the show. Really appreciate you. Good luck the rest of the way.
Of course. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's Deegan Rose. All right, we got to wrap everything up. Thanks to First String Sports, Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, Jeremiah Cunningham for producing the show, Shannon Pulliam, Austin Kemp, Deegan Rose, and Josh Henderson from Emmanuel. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.